Something I want you to wrestle with today is if your version of the faith is not good news for all people, maybe it's not the faith that Jesus wants you to have. Because the gospel is good news. It's not just good news to people who hear it and see it and experience it. If it's not good news to them, then it's not good news, and it's not from God. Let's find out more. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Our scripture reading this morning will be verses 14 through 31. Follow along as we hear the good news. The Pharisees, who were money lovers, heard all of this, and they sneered at Jesus. And he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves before other people. But God knows your hearts. What is highly valued by people is deeply offensive to God. Until John, there was only the law and the prophets. But since then, the good news of God's kingdom is preached, and everyone is urged to enter it. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for the smallest stroke of a pen in the law to drop out. And any man who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And a man who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. And there was a certain rich man who clothed himself in purple and fine linen and who feasted luxuriously every day. And at his gate lay a certain poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. And Lazarus longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But instead, dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried. And while being tormented in the place of the dead, he looked up and he saw Abraham at a distance with Lazarus at his side. And he shouted, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, whereas Lazarus received terrible things. And now Lazarus is being comforted, and you are in great pain. Moreover, a great crevice has been fixed between us and you, and those who wish to cross over from here to you cannot, and neither can anyone cross over from there to us.' And the rich man said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers, and he needs to warn them so that they don't come to this place of agony.' And Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets, and they must listen to them.' And the rich man said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will change their hearts and lives.' Abraham said, 'If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead.' It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these passages, and as you illuminate the scriptures for us today, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I've learned is that for a lot of people, their resistance to Christianity revolves around the question, is it true? Perhaps you've had someone ask you that question, or you've wondered it yourself. Is this belief, is this thing, is it true? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're in here, maybe you're watching online and you're wondering if it's true. Maybe you're struggling with your faith, or maybe you've been struggling if there's even anything to believe in. And if that's you, you have good reason. You're an intelligent person. And if you're not sure, or you don't know if you believe, you have reason. You have good reason to wonder if the story of Jesus or the story of Christianity is true. This is a great question for us to wrestle with. Was Jesus even real? Did he do all those things? Is any of it even true? However, for us and more for our culture, more and more the question is no longer even if it's true. But today, less people are asking about if it's true, but they want to know if it's good. That even if it is true, is it good? That even if it's partially true or kind of true, is it good? Is Christianity good? Is it good for society? Is it good for humanity? Is it good for children? Is Christianity good for you? Is it good for me? You know, you probably have an answer in your mind, and you probably think you know what your answer might be, but someone else may disagree with you. So I ask you to hear me out. Is it good? Or is it dangerous and harmful? Should we do away with it? Should we get rid of all religion because all religion seems harmful? Even the message of Jesus and the message of Christianity, are they harmful? Should we do away with them? See, many people ask themselves this question, and they come to the conclusion that no, it's not good. And so they walk away from the faith. And here's my point. That when you hear a message that is not good, when you hear news, when we hear news that's not good, we hope it's not true. I mean, it's natural when we hear bad news, when we hear something that's not good, we hope that it's not true. I mean, if we heard that Russia defeated Ukraine overnight, we'd hope that it wasn't true. If we heard that there is another wave of the pandemic coming through, we would hope that it wasn't true. Or if you hear that Amazon is going back to delivering only books, you'd hope it's not true. I mean, we have to go back to the mall or to the store. Is there even a mall anymore? So that's not good news for most of us. If you own a store, that's great news. But for most of us, that's not good news. But yet, the opposite is also right. It's also true that if you heard the price of gas was going down, you'd hope it was true, right? Yeah. I mean, when we hear good news, we hope it's true. I mean, imagine this. What if we found out that processed sugar extends life expectancy? Yeah. Now I got your attention. Now we're talking. I mean, we could go back to eating cake and cookies and all the candy bars we want. And if we're being honest, for most of us, that would be great news. Yet the fact that it is good news doesn't make it true. What I mean is that when you hear something good, you hope it's true. You want it to be true. And it's natural to move towards something that is good. And that's where Jesus comes in. Before his ministry even began, when he first arrived, it was already good news. Luke 2:10 says, Luke says, it was wonderful, good news of great joy. I mean, from day one, it was good news. And who was it good news for? All people, all humanity. It was good news for everyone. Now, this isn't just the kind of news that someone would just make up to make you feel good, especially in that time, in that day, when the world was deeply divided, especially in the region of Judea and Galilee. Yet, it was the announcement of good news, of great joy, that was for all people. It was the kind of news that would bring everyone joy and happiness. That includes the Jews and the Samaritans, the Greeks and the Romans, all people, good news of great joy. So that's the question. Is it good news? Is it really? Was it then? Is it today? And if so, then why the resistance? When you hear good news, you hope it's true. You may find out it's not, but you still hope it's true. You hear it and you lean into it, looking and listening and searching for a way to see if it's true. And if people lean into good news, then why isn't the whole world, the whole nation, everyone in our community leaning in and hoping it's true, even if they decide at the end of the day that it's not. For example, the original version of the Bible wasn't called the Bible. The original version was the good news. Actually, it was the gospel. And the gospel comes from two old English words meaning of God spell. That means good story or God's story. And the gospel, God's story, is the good story. In the Greek, it comes from the word euangelion, which literally, you know, we get our word evangelism from, but it literally means to proclaim the good news. So today in our Bibles, we translate it as the good news. And this is important for us because in the very beginning, in the first century, they named it good news. Now, that's not very original, but it was the best description of good news of great joy for all people. And the message of Jesus, the claims of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, they caught on. And in both the Jewish world and the Roman world, it captured people's attention. Here's why. Because we already talked about when you hear something you consider good news, even before you know it's true, you want to lean in. And people leaned in. One of the things that really breaks my heart today is that more people now than ever before are walking away from the Christian faith. Because they've come to the conclusion that it's not good news. Here's the deal. It's not their fault. If you're one of those, or if you're watching online and you're one of those, it's not your fault. Because you bumped into someone, or you did business with someone, or you went to school with someone, or you were raised by someone, or some people who shared a version of the faith, a version of Christianity, a version of the message of Jesus, and you determined it was not good news. You may not even care if it's true. You decided that it wasn't good news, and you didn't want to live, and you don't want to live your life that way. And if this is you, then I do have some good news for you. Because you should know that that wasn't the original message of Jesus. Because the original message of Jesus, the original news, was so good. It was compelling. Here in our scriptures today, we get into it, that Jesus says something that's so compelling, it draws people in and sets their hearts on fire. Jesus said that until John the Baptist, you only had the law and the prophets. It's what we call the Old Testament. But now, Jesus said, the good news of God's kingdom is preached, and everyone is urged to enter into it. See, the law and the prophets were not good news for everyone. They were, back then, they were good news for the Hebrew people, but not for anyone else. The law and the prophets were a way for them to understand God, and it provided them a religious and a moral and a civil code. It provided them judicial and ceremonial law to live by. And the law and the prophets were great news for the ancient Hebrew people, but it wasn't good news for the entire world. And so with the coming of Jesus, there was this great transition. The good news is now for everyone. Now, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's good news for everyone because sometimes we end up mixing up the old and the new inappropriately. So here again, the words of Jesus, verse 16. The good news of God's kingdom is preached and everyone is urged to enter it. Everyone is urged to receive it. God is making a huge statement that this is good news for everyone. That includes the Jews and the Romans back then, and it includes you and I today. And then Jesus drives this home because he emphasizes the importance of the law and the prophets. He uses a metaphor, and then he tells this parable. And first, the metaphor isn't really about marriage. I mean, it is, but it isn't. mean, he's clearing up the law from Deuteronomy chapter 24 about marriage and how it was being abused in that day. Yet, it's more than that. Over and over again throughout scriptures, especially in the New Testament, marriage is a metaphor for our relationship with God. In fact, all of our relationships are supposed to be a metaphor of our relationship with God. But God says, don't pollute that relationship. In the same way, you cannot divorce or separate the law from the prophets. If you try to separate them, then you mess up the marriage. You mess up the relationship. Here's what Jesus meant. While he's teaching on humility and faithfulness and generosity, the Pharisees question and challenge Jesus at every turn. Then they scoff at him. Because Jesus knows where their heart is. They're focused on their status and their wealth and their power. They're focused on living it up and flaunting it. And they're messing up their relationship. Part of that is that's the way humanity has always been. That's how we are. We tend to be greedy and selfish and obsessed with power and control, and we'll do whatever it takes to maintain them, even if it means messing up our own life. However, the other part is the way that they interpreted the law. So the theology told them that if you believed, if you did good, if you were righteous, then God would bless you and God would make you wealthy and famous and powerful. And also, if you had any of those, if you had wealth and fame and power, then God must favor you. God must really like you. And on the other hand, if you were bad and sinful or sick or disabled, then God wouldn't bless you. Or if you were poor and had a disease, it was because God was punishing you and God didn't like you. Sometimes we do the same thing. We think that if God loves us, then we're healthy and wealthy and well-liked. Or we think that if we're doing good and pleasing God, or at least not sinning, then God will cause us to prosper. And there's some biblical merit to that. That's part of the law. However, it leaves out the prophets. We must also remember that God is with the poor and the outcast and the downtrodden. We must remember that God is our healer and not our source of pain. God is not our source of sickness or misery. And Jesus drives this point home with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was extremely wealthy, and Lazarus was extremely poor. They knew each other. Lazarus basically lived on the guy's doorstep. And every day, he begged for food, scraps of food. And every day, instead of food, the dogs came out and licked his sores. And the rich man never helped him. After all, the rich man was rich because of God, right? And the poor man was poor because of God, right? But then they die. And the rich man is in torment. And Lazarus, he's in paradise. What? Wait, how can that be? Yet get this. Even then, in torment, the rich man doesn't see Lazarus as a person. He doesn't even speak to Lazarus. He wants Abraham to send Lazarus to do his bidding. Send Lazarus to quench my thirst and help my family. Me, 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 my. And Abraham says, no, it's not possible. Besides, your family has Moses. In other words, your family has the law and the prophets. Let me change that emphasis a little bit. The law and the prophets. Not just one, but both. Because see, through the prophets, we learn to recognize that God was always with Lazarus, and God always loved Lazarus. He loved him too, that even though he wasn't like the rich man, God loved him and welcomed him into heaven. However, the rich man failed to love Lazarus, and so his reward ended at his death. And this is what Jesus is saying, the law and the prophets. You cannot separate them. And Jesus came to fulfill both. And he lived out holiness and humility. righteousness and mercy. And Jesus knows that even when he rises from the dead, many of them still won't believe. How often is this us? How many times have we gotten hung up on the law but ignored the prophets? How many times do we pick and choose which laws we want to follow and which ones we want to ignore? How many times do we have expectations of ourselves and of others that we don't live up to, yet we give ourselves a pass and we hold them accountable? I've got good news, my friends. Maybe not good news. I've got news. We all fail. We all fail to live up to our own expectations. We fail to live up to others' expectations. And we even fail to live up to God's expectations. It's because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. However, through grace, through God's grace, we are all treated as righteous. That means without sin. Romans 3 says that when we believe, and I mean really believe, not just think, but also act on it, then God treats us all the same. So even though we don't live up to our expectations, and we certainly don't live up to others' expectations, God loves us anyway. God loves me anyway. God loves you anyway. And God is inviting you into the kingdom of heaven. That even in the midst of our sin and our mess, and your sin and your mess and my sin and my mess, even in the midst of our struggle, that God offers us forgiveness and mercy, compassion and love. And God is urging you, begging you to follow Jesus into the kingdom of heaven. Because God has room and God has a place for you and for me and for all of us. And that is good news. So what is good news? The good news of the kingdom of God is the values of the kingdom of God. What God is truly like. How God truly loves. How God views humankind. How God wants humankind to view God. And how God wants the human race to treat each other. And these are brand new values. It's a brand new world system of grace that is in the kingdom of God. And Jesus preached it and everyone invited. That's good news. So if the life and the message and the teaching of Jesus doesn't strike you as good news, then perhaps the version you've experienced wasn't the original version. It wasn't the good news. And if you spent time in an environment where someone told you that you weren't welcome, that you weren't wanted, that you weren't loved, or that you weren't loved by God, then I'm sorry. Because that's not good news. If you grew up in an environment that focused more on what you thought than what you did, then I'm sorry. That wasn't the good news. If you grew up in an environment that was more about rules and punishment than how you could live your life for Jesus, then I'm sorry. That wasn't the good news. And if someone presented a God to you that is very different from the God Jesus presented, then I'm sorry. Because that wasn't the good news. The original version of the good news was compelling. The original version was worth telling. And so it was told. And people listened. And the people believed. And it was true. And they believed, meaning that they lived and they died for the truth of the good news. And then Jesus rose from the dead to prove that the good news was and is and always will be true. And you are invited. God is inviting you. Jesus is inviting you to hear, to see, to know, and to experience, and to live into the reality of the good news of great joy for all people. Amen.